I'm listening to the show every morning, and you can say it's grand. It's not grand if you're not on it, though.
OTB's Mount Rushmore.
Some talent in Cork, isn't there? Wow. A few of the GAA boys weren't happy, but it was my sporting hero. I was contesting, I think, against Jimmy Barry Murphy. So once you're in that company, everything is good.
Join the debate across all our social channels at Off the Ball.
It's very, very special. Believe me, I think it becomes more special when you're on the coach, because it's something, unfortunately, inside me that's ultra competitive, and I need to be there.
Catch the live decision-making over the next few months on OTB AM on the OTB Podcast Network. The OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Delighted to say Miguel Delaney is with us this morning. Miguel, how are you getting on?
Not too bad.
This Premier League story has been rumbling on, and it doesn't... You know, I'm kind of very loath to compare one situation with another situation, but it certainly doesn't seem as if they have been as definitive about what they want to do as, say, La Liga, for example. But maybe that's actually the right approach. Maybe La Liga have it wrong in having one guy who seems to be leading the charge, and perhaps that's just how it's reported here. But certainly, giving the Premier League clubs the opportunity to debate things, when they do find some kind of consensus, at least everybody will have had their opinion heard.
I'm not sure. I think there's a difference in messaging for one, and maybe this comes from what the competitions are, which is also the Premier League essentially being almost a group of 20 shareholders, which creates a difficulty of its own. I was just off a press conference call with the Premier League chief executive, Richard Masters, yesterday after the video conference, and a few journalists were complaining afterwards that it wasn't as direct as Tebas in Spain, who just spelled out everything they want to do. Whereas, and I suppose the issue in England, I suppose, Masters had to be a bit cagier because this is an ongoing negotiation. In saying that, I think yesterday was quite a decisive day, because on Sunday I was looking at the kind of situation. I was a bit more pessimistic about football coming back because of the split, which is basically that obviously the bottom six do not want to play in neutral grounds. They are worried about how this will influence the relegation fight. They had brought a few clubs in, and of course this had led to suspicion of other clubs that they were just that it wasn't just about neutral grounds, but it was all kind of a big game of chicken or a delaying exercise, because there could be an opportunity here to stave off relegation, or those are suspicions. Everyone would maintain they want to play the league. But then yesterday morning, it was the first announcement in the video conference. It kind of basically undercut all this when the FA, an announcement was made with the FA. There was a unanimous agreement that the season has to be finished on sporting merit. And that's either going to be through playing the remaining fixtures or some sort of formula like weighted points per game. And that has immediately kind of destroyed the kind of bottom six power block now, because they're suddenly not all unified, because now it's going to, basically it's in the interests of some of the teams now to play the remaining fixtures no matter what, because depending on the formula, they're almost certain to go down. That's probably true. Maybe not Villa, because they've got that game in hand. West Ham, on the last weighted points per game that I saw, they'd be in danger. Norwich would obviously be in danger. But it's just completely skewed the situation. Now, as a SOP, the Premier League, because more than six clubs obviously are not totally with the idea of neutral grounds. In fact, all would prefer to play home and away, but to different degrees. The Premier League will go back to government and see if there's anything that can be done on home and away fixtures. And obviously the Bundesliga is instructive on that. Personally, I can't really see the government budging on that from everything we've heard. It could because it's all about kind of the safety concerns, not just outside the ground, but within. But now it seems that even if it was to go to neutral grounds, the majority would vote for that. And it's why I think football is looking in a better share. The Premier League, at least, it looks more likely it'll come back for mid-June than it had done last week.
The bit about the government saying we actually want you to continue with the neutral venues, there's probably quite a strong hand that the Premier League have here, in that things are going so badly for Johnson in terms of the perception of his announcement in the last 24 hours. If they get in now and say, look, come on, we can help you here, this is going to be seen as you triumphing over the return of football and bringing it to back regionally, you know, and it's kind of in keeping with your let's get everybody back to work, who can go back to work if you're not taking public transport I can see how they might be able to force that through.
Possibly. I mean, I know social media is instructive, but even when the announcement was made yesterday about sport being able to come back, the immediate response is, oh, look at this, a natural reaction to what was a shambles of messaging on Sunday evening. The one thing about that, I mean, and this has been a bit of a criticism throughout the Premier League's handling of this over the last few weeks, that for a response like that would maybe require a bit of centralised leadership, which they felt has been lacking. And there has been some talks from some clubs about how if Scudamore was still in the job, there'd be immediate consensus. Now, I think that's probably a bit unfair on Masters. He was also he wasn't around for some of the situations because he was on compassionate leave, and has only recently come back. But it is a potential response for the Premier League. But I suppose there's a game again. They're under their own pressures here because a lot of their clubs actually do need the football to come back as soon as possible. So whether camera heads will prevail in that, we'll see.
Yeah. Okay. So, in terms of feeling optimistic about the return of football, and let's just make sure that everybody understands that's what we're talking about here. What kind of time frame would that happen in?
So they're almost certain to go back to group training on May 18th. So that's 6 days' time, Monday. Now there are meetings with players and staff this week, which a lot of clubs have complained should have happened much earlier. I think the Premier League would say they need to kind of iron out details of whether they actually can come back before they can go to the players. I think they will manage to assuage assure them of safety, or it's in a relatively safe environment. I know there's kind of they're relying on all sorts of science, so should have more details of that later in the week. But then it's about almost the training being a trial period and seeing how that goes, because on the kind of press conference call with Masters yesterday, we were talking about what happens if one player is tested positive for coronavirus, which is pretty much an inevitability, as we've seen from Spain and Germany, but also kind of, you know, where testing would take place, whether players go home or in kind of some sort of secure environment. So this would be kind of the training would almost be a trial for 3-4 weeks, with the hope they want to get back to the Premier League on 12th of June. But they did say they might have to be a bit flexible over that date. That's kind of the target date, but some period of mid-June is the general idea.
I mean, it's a remarkable turnaround from where we were 2 weeks ago, really.
In terms of kind of where it didn't look like football was going to happen at all.
Yeah, and also where we still are with regards to the level of infection in the UK.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I've been thinking about this a lot, and even from our own perspective as journalists, the morality of reporting on, you know, football trying to get back while all this is going on, and deaths are still happening. And I suppose it's almost two separate things. Obviously, like as we saw in Italy from straight away, when death tolls are so high, it just feels wrong and distasteful to be playing football. But then once you go past that, I suppose there is a period of commemoration, and there has to be some sort of will to try and get back to normality. The issue then becomes about whether the situation makes playing football unsafe. And I think that is the crux of it. And I think there's a fair argument, and this is going to apply to a lot of businesses. When I did a piece last week and talking about some of the latest government developments and some of the schism in the Premier League, apparently the UK government were saying that if some of the stringent measures the Premier League applied, or what some clubs in Premier League wanted, were applied to all businesses, no one would ever return. So that's some of the thinking. Now, again, you could have your own questions to the UK government in that regard. But I suppose if football can get back safely, even within the current context, I wouldn't say it's as distasteful as people are making out. And it's about a return to normality in that sense.
It could be useful in a load of different ways, in showing a pathway, in getting, you know, how do we begin to congregate again? Where will we learn the science about getting crowds back together again, except in situations where crowds have gathered before? So, like, I can see that argument, but I also understand that people are a little bit squeamish about this.
Yeah, completely. But then I suppose it's about adapting to an unprecedented situation. So one of the things I heard was one Premier League chairman in the latest round of meetings has been putting forward the idea. He realises it's too sensitive to put this out publicly at the moment. But the argument was basically that it's a bit like road safety and speed limits. That now I'm not saying I agree with this. I'm just saying this is a position that was put out there in some of the discussions. That if the speed limit was high in cities, you know, it would cause many more deaths than it does. But we lower it as a kind of a, you know, it's all about compensation on either end, and it's about assessing risk. And so we're going to have to apply the same to coronavirus eventually, because, you know, as he pointed out in some of these meetings, the death tolls on the road are still higher than coronavirus, and we're going to have to apply the same rationale if it involves getting back to some sort of normality.
Miguel, what is the official stance from the Premier League if there is a Dynamo Dresden-esque situation where there is a cluster of cases within a two-week period of the season set to restart?
So I asked Master that yesterday. So he was aware of the Dresden situation, but not fully aware of all the details. He didn't quite go into what will happen when the league resumes for this. It was more about what happens now with the training. And he said that if one player was tested positive, the player himself would have to go into quarantine, but the team wouldn't, because even in training, they're gonna go by certain social distancing laws, and then they have all their reliance. From what I mean, this is me filling in the gaps now. Sure. They've been using studies in certain sciences about even when you're playing football in an outside environment, how long you're actually in contact with or how long you're close to other people, you know, even kind of transmission through the air. So I think that at least informs some of the thinking. But in terms of what there would be what happened with a positive case, for the moment, for the training situation, it's just that one player would go into quarantine.
Do you think we could see players playing with masks?
That hasn't been broached yet, but, well, not that I've heard it's been broached, I'm sure it's come up. given that nearly everything has come up in these discussions, because they've been trying anything to find a solution. The message has been everything on the table. I think going from the science I've heard they're using, and even kind of Tebas alluded to this on Sunday with Spain, I don't think so, but I think managers will.
Right. And Aoife Alvey is working with World Rugby at the moment. He's a former doctor with the Irish rugby team, and also a former international boxer from Ireland. Very, very renowned doctor. He was talking about the study that rugby is doing at world rugby level about what the level of contact is, and even kind of, you know, because the World Health Organization describes contact as 15 minutes in close contact inside a 2 meter radius. They were saying that they believe that on the balance of probability, even people in the scrum wouldn't actually fulfill that criteria over the course of 80 minutes. You know, I mean, obviously there would be some exceptions to that, but on balance, most players wouldn't have contact. So you can see where the science would actually give them some comfort about a very low risk of infection. And then it does become all about the player's willingness to accept a certain amount of risk and the club's willingness to put those players at risk.
I think there are a few actually interesting quandaries here. First of all, the Premier League the clubs are going to have to come up with some sort of situation that allows an opt-out, given the risk. But then we get into kind of bigger questions, and it almost feels like this is an unfair pressure to put on players. But this is kind of the reality, in that even if they have safety concerns, and you very obviously very understandable, very genuine safety concerns, of course, yet the issue is that football is obviously a cash flow business. That cash flow has stopped. And we just kind of at the moment threatening kind of the economic structure of the sport, and the economic structure which involves very lucrative pay packets. Now, given that this could mean clubs going to administration and those pay packets actually stopped, will that, you know, force certain players to change their thinking? Not that clubs will force them to, but the situation and the threat to a certain lifestyle. I know it's a little bit grotesque to almost think about it in those terms, but that is kind of the reality and a very genuine quandary in this. And I was talking to an agent yesterday who has a few players in the Bundesliga about this very issue, and he was kind of saying, from what we've seen, the vast majority of players want to go back, and even those that have doubts, once it comes to a situation where all their teammates are, they kind of go with it. But you would wonder, I mean, especially judging by Danny Rose's very strident comments on his Instagram last night, whether some players would just with downright refuse, and what the league will do then.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, it's going to be, do you accept the risk or not? Sign this waiver. If you sign this waiver, then suddenly you're on board. And if enough players sign a waiver, then that club is going to be grand. If there's one or two clubs that have you know, a few refuseniks and they rally their troops behind them, it'll be fascinating to see what happens in that instance. But I think the point you make about is ultimately hurting everybody in the pocket is going to drive a lot of decisions in a lot of industries, like in especially in England. You know, it's the lowest paid who are getting on the tube, who have been told to avoid it, but who have to go because they're all going to end up losing their jobs. So
yeah,
this is the bit of the whole scenario where everybody being on the same team begins to break down really quickly. And that's when factions happen. And it's going to be a very, very interesting couple of months for us. Miguel, great to have you with us this morning. Thanks a million.
Cheers. Thanks, Jerry.
It's Miguel Delaney with us, filling us in on what's going on with regards to the Premier League.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.